Bibles, let's turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3, easy to find, right before the book of Matthew, last book of the Old Testament, right before the book of Matthew, Malachi, chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1, and we're going to read the first six verses this morning. So if you would, pay close attention. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those who oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for each one that's here. We thank you for the Word of God that we've already heard this morning. We thank you for the Word of God that you've given us here. And Lord, my desire is that I could be a blessing. But I desire above all that each heart would be open to you and that we would be a blessing to you by opening our hearts to the Word of God. Lord, you know the need of every person here. You know the failures of every person here. You know the fears. You know all things, and you know what we need. Lord, I just pray and ask that you would help us this morning as we face a new year. Help us to be thankful that while things are rapidly changing around us, that our God does not change. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that whole passage, there's a whole lot of things there. God is talking about to the Jews about the coming of the Lord. Not His first coming, but His second coming. His coming in judgment, coming in righteousness. And he tells them about that, and he asked the question. He said, who may abide the day of His coming, and who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years, when they started out by faith. He's talking about the redemption of Israel. There's a lot that the Bible talks about the redemption of the nation of Israel and the things that are going to happen. And so as he talks about that, he said, I'll come near to you and to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. He said there's coming a time when there's going to be judgment. You know, we look at our nation today and we look at the things that are happening and we look at the things that are going on and everybody's crying one against another, and some of the things are trumped up, but some of them, many of the things that the abuses of power and things that we have are simply the people that talk about them for no other reason than to continue to gain power for themselves and try to make themselves an advocate for people. But the simple fact is, when the Lord comes, there's not going to be any posturing. And when the Lord comes back, all of these things are going to be dealt with. And all of these things are going to be called into account. And he's telling Israel, like, you cannot continue the way you are today. And God's going to do his work. And he's going to accomplish something there when he comes back. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. But if you're not saved, I can understand why you wouldn't want the Lord to come. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I can understand why you would want things down here to just continue as they are. I can understand why you would be a scoffer and say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I can understand why you would want to deny the coming of the Lord and why you would not like it when people talked about it. You know, I've been trying to work on this the mailer that we have and trying to what we're going to put on there. And you know, so many people are afraid of the COVID virus and everything like that, and people are afraid of death because we've had a lot of deaths that are related to COVID. Now, the truth of the matter is a lot of the death count's been inflated, but still people have died because they've caught the virus. I mean, it's a serious virus and everything. The sad thing is everybody's using it for politics rather than trying to actually figure out the common sense way to do things. I could spend hours on that, but people are afraid. Why are they afraid? They're afraid of death. Why are they afraid of death? Because they know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. God is talking about judgment here on the nation of Israel. He's talking about making an end of these things. These things were written. And he tells them, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And then he says, therefore, because I don't change, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In other words, you've forsaken me, but I'm going to keep my promise to your fathers. I'm going to keep my promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David. I'm going to keep my promises that I made. You know, we ought to be happy in this day and age. In this new year, we're looking at the change of an administration, and we've got people on one side sitting there hoping they can hold on to some power in Congress so that they can moderate the changes of the other side, and the other side is hoping they can get power so they can implement everything they want to do. And most of it has not a cotton picket thing to do with actually doing anything to help people. It has to do with getting power. And that's where we're at in our culture today. We've got a lot of change possibly coming in this new year. I want to tell you one thing that does not change, and that's our God. Our God does not change. And you ought to be thankful for that. Our God does not change. In the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 1 Samuel 15, verse 29, also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. God doesn't lie. God doesn't change. And you better be happy for that. Because if God decided to change, it would not be good for this world. It would not be good for the lost. It would not be good for the saved. God doesn't change. He doesn't lie. Titus 1:2 is the verse that opened my eyes to the truth of this. When I got saved, I sat there as I was wondering, how would I know that I'm saved? And I was sitting there struggling with it, and I was calling out to God to save me from my sins because I knew I deserved to die and go to hell. I knew I didn't deserve to go to heaven. I knew that, and I believed that Jesus Christ was my only hope, and I was calling out, but I was waiting for some feeling to happen. I was waiting for some sign from heaven. And I got a little book by Oliver B. Green given to me called Assurance of Salvation, that little blue book. And I sat there and I opened it up and I began to read it. And I read Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. My hope of eternal life is based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the promise of Almighty God. And so the simple fact was, my salvation is sure because God cannot lie. When he said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," that wasn't arbitrary, that was absolute. And thank God for that. God does not change. The world changes. We see it all the time. The whole focus of modern culture is focused on this is one of the problems with our science and everything like that, why it seems as confused as a termite in a yo-yo and as changeable as the wind. This whole idea of science, and all you have to do is look at the last year to see how much the so-called science has changed about this virus and everything. They're constantly changing, and they're doing that. They don't have any surety, but that's their idea, that this world is constantly changing and it's all evolution and things are always changing and everything like that. Even though the very foundation of what their scientific method is based upon the fact that there is order and not chaos in the universe, and that things can be studied and things happen a certain way. There's order in the universe. There's a creation. Therefore, but they deny the Creator. But we know why the world changes. We know a lot of it changes because of the sin of mankind, because the world is under a curse. We understand that. We understand what the Bible says about that. But God doesn't change. God doesn't change. You know, a lot of the evolutionists today are worried about a worldwide flood. They actually are. They were worried about a fault line. Isn't it an amazing thing? They were worried about a fault line in an island in the Atlantic. They said, if this thing ever comes off and this part of this island never falls into the sea, we might have a 300-foot tidal wave tsunami cover the eastern seaboard and the Gulf of Mexico, and millions would die. Now, they can believe that that would happen, but they can't believe that there was a worldwide flood before. They can't believe that the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the rain and all the things that God says in the book of Genesis. Oh, that's just make-believe. But they're actually arguing for what they themselves deny. Isn't it crazy? But we know the world's changing. We know why. We know there's a curse on this world. This world is the curse is from man's sin. That's the cost. And we know the things that are done, and even that curse is God's mercy. He said, "Cursed to Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake." That man would have to labor. It's a good thing for men to labor, by the way, and work. Keeps them out of trouble. If you don't believe that work keeps people out of trouble, look at all the rich people that don't work and look how much trouble they get into. Granted, I'm just saying. Just think about it. But notice what he says about God. He says he doesn't lie. And he doesn't change. God doesn't change, so therefore he does not lie. He's all truth. Psalm 102, verse 26, "They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end." And that goes to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 and 12. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." God doesn't change. The world changes, but God does not. God doesn't lie. He doesn't fail. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. Talking about God that does not change. You know, we change because we learn. We learn things, don't we? Anybody here thought one way and then learned and then now you think a different way? Every one of us, right? God's not like that. God doesn't change because God has no need to learn. He doesn't learn. All knowledge comes from Him. All wisdom comes from Him. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. God does not change. He doesn't learn. His understanding, there's no searching of it. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't faint. Psalm 121. Go over to Psalm 121 real quick if you want to look at it. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, the he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. God is not weary. He doesn't faint. Sometimes we change because we just quit. There's times in our lives where we may have stood for righteousness' sake and we fought and we fought and we fought and we say, I just can't fight anymore, so we quit fighting. And a lot of times people, when they quit fighting, they just acquiesce to whatever else is around them. We change because we get weary. But God doesn't. God does not change. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We get to a point to where we just don't want to do anything. We have a limit to our patience. We have a limit to our compassion. But God doesn't. And you better be glad of it. You better be glad of it. You better be thankful for it. He's not like us. His mercies are new every morning. You say, I failed yesterday, preacher. Well, the good news is you don't have to continue in failure. The good news is God hadn't given up on you. If He did, you'd be dead. The Bible tells us in the Scripture that there's a sin unto death, talking about physical death for a Christian. The Bible talks about in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, because they were making a mockery of the Lord's Supper and other things that they were doing, he said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Then he says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. There's a such thing where God says, it's time. I'm done with you. Down on this earth. Your time on this earth is finished. There's no more profit. But you're not dead yet, are you? And until that day when you're looking at Him face to face, you still have another opportunity, don't you? Another opportunity to serve the Lord. Another opportunity to change. Another opportunity for revival and the things that we talk about. Because His compassions fail not. And His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. God is faithful. Isn't that amazing? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, and with the temptation shall make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Amen? God is faithful. He's merciful. He's kind. What an amazing thing about our God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17, wherein God more willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. That means my salvation is eternal because God doesn't change. His counsel is immutable. It cannot be overturned. It's immutable. It cannot be silenced, if you will. It's immutable. It cannot be wiped away. It cannot be overruled. It cannot be overridden. His counsel is that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. That's talking about our salvation. If you go read all that in context, it's talking about your salvation. You better be glad God doesn't change, because that would affect His salvation. You know, if God wanted to take back salvation, He'd have every right to do it. None of us deserve it, do we, Brother Larry? Nobody deserves salvation. If you're here today and you're not saved, you don't deserve to be saved. But God offers salvation. Isn't that an amazing thing? That God offers salvation even this day? You ought to be thankful for that. God offers salvation. And that salvation and how He's decreed that it comes to pass, it will not change. God's not going to change the game on us. It's immutable. It's in things that it's impossible for Him to lie. God cannot lie. And He made these promises, and He keeps His promises. Just like He's going to keep His promises to the nation of Israel, He keeps His promises to every individual who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who puts their faith and trust in Him. To everyone that repents and believes the gospel, the promise is sure and secure. And that's good news for us too, because we're in a world where the world's rapidly changing, but God's salvation doesn't change. We can go and offer the same gift that was offered to us. God will keep His word if people will simply believe. If somebody were to say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" We could say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Amen? That's because God does not change. Hebrews 13:18, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and ever. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Let me show you what the context of that is, because it's very important to understand. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says this. He said in verse 7, in fact, let's just go back to verse 1. He says, chapter 13, verse 1, he says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You know, God has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You ought to be thankful. That promise is secure because God does not change. He says, "Remember them," in verse 7, "which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." What's the end of this life? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I were to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that wonderful chapter that we talk, that talks about love, and he says in verse 12, he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." To know Jesus, to know our Savior, to see Him. I like that hymn by Fanny Crosby. You notice I go to these hymns a lot. Why? Because they have a message. But you're thinking about a blind woman who says, "When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I know I shall see Him when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side, I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hand." That picture of a blind woman who's never seen anything, but one day she'll get to heaven, and the first thing she'll see is Jesus. That the story goes that when Miss Crosby was at a meeting and she was giving her testimony of salvation in a mission, and one of the people that came up to her, they said, "Miss Crosby," the man said, "Miss Crosby," he says, "I pity you." And she said, Why do you pity me?" And he says, "You've never seen a sunset. You don't even know what your mama and your daddy's face looked like. You don't know anything. You've never seen anything in this world that you can remember." He said, "There's so much beauty in this world that you're just missing." And she just chuckled and said to him, she said, "Listen, don't you realize that the first face that I'll ever see will be the face of Jesus?" She said, that's worth it all. She said, "There's a lot of things that I won't see here on this earth." He said, "The first thing that I will see is the face of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." That's the end of our conversation. That's the goal. To stand in His presence. To know Him face to face. For Him to be there. And that's possible because He does not change. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God doesn't change. You wonder, why is there any good in this world? There's a lot of things that happen in this world that are undeniably good. There's a lot of good things that people do. And I am tickled to death for every good thing, good deed that any person in the world does. But I can guarantee you the reason why there are good things in this world and good gifts in this world is because God does not change. And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Even though we live in a sin-cursed world, there is a lot of good goes on in this world, isn't there? There are a lot of hungry folks that get fed. There are a lot of sick folks that get healed. There are a lot of good things that God allows to go on, and that is the influence of God in this world. It's not the influence of the devil. When the devil gets his way on this earth, what's it going to be? War, famine, murder, disease, pestilence. Read the book of Revelation and you get a good look at what the world's going to look like once the devil gets his way. God says to mankind, all right, you've rejected me. Here's the world you wanted. Take it. And man's going to get a literal preview of hell. You read what the Bible says the torments of hell are, and you read the things that are going to happen during the tribulation period, during that period of wrath, and you're going to see things that are going to happen that are going to parallel what the Bible says are going to be some of the torments in hell. Mankind's going to get a sneak preview. And yet majority of them won't repent because God's dealing with Israel. A lot of them will have a strong delusion that they should believe a lie because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's just the truth of the Word of God. God doesn't change. And the good in this world is the influence of Almighty God. It's the influence of the Heavenly Father. And that's the truth. Doesn't mean that everybody that does good is doing it because they love God. It just means that God loves us. God's merciful and gracious and kind. And He's already shown He used Nebuchadnezzar, He used Cyrus, He can use a sinner. Heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. That's why you should never give up on praying for your government, by the way. Notwithstanding the fact that you and I are commanded to do it, I don't like who they elected. I don't see anything about that in the Bible. I just say we're supposed to pray for kings and all that are in authority so that we can live a godly life, an honest life, a peaceful life. But there's coming a time where the world where there's a payday coming. But God is so merciful in you. I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're a Christian today. I can't see anybody's heart. The only heart I know here is my own. But I can say this to you. If you're lost today, if you don't know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. I've got good news for you. God made a promise of eternal life to those that would repent, stop calling Him a liar, acknowledge their sin, and acknowledge their need of a Savior. And if they would put their faith and trust in Christ and believe that He died on Calvary's cross and shed His blood as payment for their sins and rose from the dead incorruptible, He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And just a couple of verses later, He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today and you're lost, if you're not saved, you can be saved today. And you can be saved because God doesn't change. He he made that what we call the plan of salvation. He made that plan of salvation. You can be saved today. If you're here today and you say, "Well, preacher, I'm saved." Well, hallelujah. But the one thing we need to make sure we don't ever do, and that's live like God has changed. Just because you changed doesn't mean God's changed. That's why you and I, we talk about, boy, my life has gotten bad. I've failed God. I've not done the things I should have done. I've made a mistake of it. But the good news is God doesn't change. He's made a way back. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's the reality. We face a new year. Don't even know how much of it we're going to get to have. Some of us may be here the whole year. Some of us may be here for days. Some of us may all be gone by that time. We don't know, do we? But we have one surety. A lot of uncertainty in our lives. I can't promise you that anybody here is going to live out the day. So many tragic things happen in this world. We could leave here, and I remember Brother Jesse Dowdy. I remember him. We got out in a service, and he drove up, and he drove across the thing, and an 18-wheeler come right along and slammed right into him. And the Lord preserved him. He's got a few scratches and bruises out of the whole thing, getting sideswiped by an 18-wheeler. I mean, that in itself is almost miraculous, isn't it? At the mercy of God. But we can leave here, somebody be liquored up, run into somebody. Once again, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I don't know what your situation is, but what I wanted to simply ask you to do, would you do business with God today? Would you? You say, "Well, preacher, I'm right with God." Well, then why don't you take some time and pray for these prayer requests that we gave earlier, and why don't you take a moment to praise God for His goodness, and why don't you take a moment to thank God because He does not change. Everything's changing around us except our God. You know, when everything's shifting around, you reach out to something that's steady and firm, don't you? Why would we not cast all our care upon Him when we know that He cares for us? If you're not right with God, you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. There's things in my life that aren't right." Good news. God hadn't changed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Pray with me as we do that. God spoke to your heart. Would you do business with God today? Heavenly Father, you know every heart here. You know the need of every person. Lord, we just simply ask that you would open our eyes to truth. We pray, Father, that you would bless your people with understanding. Lord, we pray if there's any lost, we pray for their salvation. If there's any that are out of fellowship with you, we pray that they would humble themselves and call upon. Draw nigh. Come boldly to the throne of grace so that they might find mercy and grace to help them find it. And Lord, we just pray that as we face a world that is changing constantly around us, as we ourselves change, our abilities change, our knowledge change.